This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1986. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave, on this edition, recorded June 13th. Antarctica, Australia, Brazil, Denmark, East Turkestan, France, Germany, Hungary, India, Japan, Korea North, Madagascar, Mexico, Mongolia, Nigeria, North America, Russia, South Sudan, Thailand, Turkey, UK, USA, Vatican, Receiver News, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, once again this week, Manuel Mendez in Spain reports LRA 36 Antarctica, active on Wednesday, June 12th. Heard from 1601 UT after the interference went off, just below 15476. And it was on the air all the way until 2100 UT. However, listening in Spain, he says it was extremely weak, only audible on upper sideband with strong fading. Sometimes audio, and at times only a carrier detected, especially during the final hour. In communication of the British DX Club, we are reminded in their DX diary of the annual BBC World Service midwinter broadcast to the British Antarctic Survey staff working there on Midwinter's Day in Antarctica. It's always on the 21st of June. Last year it was at 2130 to 2200 UT on 5985 and 9890 via Wolverton, UK, and 7360 via Ascension, but we don't have any definite info on the frequencies this year, although the time will probably be the same on Friday, June 21st. From Isidro Mater State Beach, California, Ron Howard says, I was very pleased with today's reception of Radio 4KZ, Australia, 5055, June 10th. Heard from 10:06 until 11:10. For several months, this had been well below threshold level audio, and he could only ID one song. But this day, he was amazed to have summertime reception, well above threshold level, easy to ID almost all the songs, including the Mamas and the Papas, John Denver, Chicago, Lionel Richie, Billy Joel, Bob Seger, and others. A very nice selection of songs, he says. Commercials were not readable, and there were IDs. There was news at 1100, and some marine conditions. They cut off at 12:56. Of course, heard with a summertime static. Media freedom under threat in Australia. That's the alarming headline from the June issue of Media Industry Briefing from the Association for International Broadcasting. It's not often that a police raid is live tweeted step by step over a period of hours, but that's what happened when the Australian Federal Police raided the ABC newsroom in Sydney on 5 June. John Lyons, executive director of ABC News and head of the broadcaster's investigative journalism, reported the raid from the moment AFP entered the ABC Ultimo headquarters until the last investigators left the building. The raid was over a story on unlawful killings and misconduct by Australian Defence Forces in Afghanistan that was based on hundreds of pages of leaked defence documents. Lyons says the police took possession of around 100 documents during the raid that lasted several hours. Journalists and legal professionals labeled the AFP operation unprecedented and an attack on press freedom. The ABC chair, Ida Buttrose, issued a condemnation of the raid, saying it was unprecedented both to the ABC and to me. As always, you can read much more about this and other stories. I only have a brief amount of time to mention on the program. If you consult DX Listening Digest, the next issue when published, number 19-24, via worldofradio.com. Via Hardcore DX, Scudo Figrim in Sao Paulo reports that one of the major Brazilian medium wave stations, Rádio Tupi, in Rio de Janeiro on 1280, its 100 kilowatts, seems to be phasing out its medium wave frequency. Although they do not inform about this clearly on its programming, it's clear that Rádio Tupi could be in a deactivation process. It closed the daily broadcasts at 0300 UT midnight. Previously, they were running 24/7 with a strong signal for listeners all over Brazil It's a clear channel, only one other station on the frequency. But they switched off the medium wave signal at 2300 UT. And by 1310, the next day they were again on the air, but it's a different situation each day. He says there's a big migration process from medium wave to FM in Brazil. Tupi already has a local FM station on 96.5 in Rio de Janeiro. On the radio signal with video from the studio, www.tupi.fm, there's no longer any indication about the frequency of 1280 kHz on the screen. And in their voice ID and jingles, just a mention of their FM frequency. Therefore, this can be an announced death from Tupi RJMW signal after 85 years. A bad situation for Brazilian radio listeners, but for DXers, good news. No signal from Tupi on 1280. Several other stations were heard on the frequency, including from Uruguay and Paraguay. That was on June 1st, and a week later on June 8th, he says the schedule on 1280 seems to be from 09 until 23 UT. Via Alan Pennington in the British DX Club, info from FB, 13 June from World Music Radio in Denmark, the low-power shortwave station saying that yesterday it was hit by a lightning strike and the signal put off the air. 5840 remains off. They hope the transmitter can be repaired soon. No mention of their other frequency and transmitter, 15805, but streaming was back on at www.wmr.radio. Malaysia remains inactive on 9835, but you might hear something else near there. Wolfgang Büschel says on June 10th at 0940 UT there was PBS Xinjiang in Urumqi, East Turkestan, also known as China, in the Chinese language. But it was way off frequency, measured 9834.913. Mike Terry forwards a press release from DRM, Digital Radio Mondial, as usual making a big deal about very little, headlined DRM Shortwave Broadcasts in Budapest, Hungary. On June 1st, Budapest started being covered by DRM signals on shortwave, the culmination of a long technological development of radio broadcasting in Hungary, which started already in the early 1890s. The Budapest University of Technology has started a one-year DRM broadcast June 1st from their broadcasting laboratory. The objectives are to demonstrate the value-added possibilities of DRM and to provide an opportunity for receiver manufacturers to test their products in real life. The details, it's a 24-hour program played out in a loop, compiled by their media partner, Radio Maria, as in Maria, and the frequency is 26060 kHz, with an effective power of approximately 100 watts. The antenna is a 5/8-1 monopole. This reminds me there have been other low-power DRM transmissions on 11 meters, not intended for DXing but for local coverage, but still barely possible to DX if Sporadic E cooperates, and this is the time of year for that. In current HFCC registrations, there are two others listed, not necessarily active, both of them in different places in Germany, with 1 kilowatt, 26040 and 26080. They are in Berlin and Munich, respectively. Dimitri in northeast England has been having trouble decoding the DRM transmission from All India Radio on 7550. He wonders if they have changed their parameters. In the British DX Club, Ian Brooks replies he's also had similar results, trying various DRM decoding programs, getting very short bursts of audio, no longer than a second or so. Perhaps that won't matter much longer, as a far more important story from India, via Mike Barraclough, appeared in the publication called The Print, headlined, Prasar Bharati wants to switch off All India Radio shortwave service, India's voice around the world. The decision might hurt India's reach, but public broadcaster justifies the move, saying shortwave transmissions hardly have any impact anymore on global opinion making. AIR is on the verge of shutting down shortwave transmitters, a move that could affect the country's global outreach efforts in over 100 countries. A committee has recommended the closure of 45 of the existing 48 such transmitters on the grounds that they are expensive and do not have much of an audience. Many of them are used to reach a domestic audience, around 19 cater exclusively to global broadcasts, particularly countries of strategic importance. For instance, AIR's Urdu service is popular in Pakistan. The Prasar Bharati CEO told the print that global outreach remains a priority and that shortwave transmission is only one part of it. When it comes to global outreach, digital is the way forward. We're working to revamp our apps, such as AIR World Service and News on AIR. And we assume by digital here he means internet rather than DRM. He added, in terms of global opinion-making, shortwave transmissions hardly have any impact anymore. While we are not phasing them out completely, the focus of external broadcasts will now shift to digital from shortwaves. Most of India's shortwave transmitters are now defunct. There is no record on their listenership. Instead, the transmitter network will be further strengthened at sensitive borders, and some more medium-wave transmitters will be installed. And we'll be exploring hiring airwaves of other countries for a specific duration of broadcasts. Dan Robinson replies, this is what DXers and SWLs have dreaded for decades. The departure of a station that, for so many of us, has been a huge reason to continue using our radios. Predictable but depressing. For me, AIR was among the first group of Asian countries logged in my early years of DXing in the late 60s, usually on 9912 kHz. There was nothing like turning on the receivers and hearing what that wonderful All India Radio interval signal. At least we still have Bangladesh around on shortwave. Rick Barton in Arizona says, if this frequency proves reliable through the hot summer months, it'll be great for casual listening to NHK Radio Japan broadcasts. He's talking about 11695 relay via Singapore in English at 1100 UT. He heard their news with good reception, but not armchair reception, and a language lesson program. That is, of course, if you don't mind listening at 4 a.m. local time. Another more or less monthly frequency shuffle by Shokaze or Seabreeze from Japan about North Korean abductions. Ron Howard in California says it's now on 5935 at 13 UT, June 10th. That's including English on Thursdays only. He says a less than ideal assignment since it now blocks reception of Tibet on 5935. It seems that Shokaze pays little or no attention to frequency usage on the ones they pick, what other stations are doing, and interference caused by them or to them. Here's the complete list currently via Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria. That 13 to 14 broadcast is also on 6070. The repeated 16 UT, also with English on Thursdays, is now on 5920 and 6165. The broadcast in between, which is in Japanese only at 1405 to 1435, is now on 5980 and 6070. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio 1986. Also bringing you the non-commercial website worldofradio.com and the non-commercial publication DX Listening Digest. Our thanks this week for financial support from Floor Lynch in Ireland, who sent a contribution via PayPal to WORADIO at yahoo.com. We appreciate when they are in U.S. dollars, but PayPal will convert if you want to use some other funds. One may also contribute via money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. Last week we had a report that two Mexicali medium wave stations were going to close down forever at the end of the June 2nd broadcast day. Steve McGreevy in California was monitoring this carefully and confirms that XCCL 990 was no longer heard after June 2nd, but the other one was still on the air as of June 11th, XED 1050, so we're not sure if they're still planning to turn that one off. Anyhow, in his location on 990, he's now hearing nothing but KTMS in Santa Barbara. Ron Howard reports on Mongolian Radio Program 3, relaying FM 100.9, on 7260. June 11th, after 11:54 UT, with the usual Tuesday radio karaoke entertainment program, according to their website schedule, in vernacular with phone call-ins, the callers singing, This type of program seems to be popular in Asia. He's also heard them similar programming format from Bhutan and Malaysia. Voice of Nigeria continues to be sporadically active, and I usually check around 0600 UT, slightly below 7255. For example, it was there June 8th, but just barely modulating. Unusual. On June 9th, again it was on, but barely modulating. June 11th, however, it was not to be heard at all at 0612. When this happens, we really should be checking other known Nigerian frequencies, which I did not on that occasion, but Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria says on that same date, June 11th at 0600, they were instead on 9689.9 in Hausa. There continued to be anomalies in VON transmissions. On the next day, June 12th, Ivo Ivanov says they were heard in DRM on 15119.9, that Hausa broadcast starting at 0600. Then Fulfulde at 07, English at 08, followed by French. Alan Rowe in England was also hearing them in English, DRM 15120, June 12th at 08. He says this may be in connection with National Democracy Day in Nigeria. And on that day, the English broadcast in DRM continued all the way until 1400, colliding with Saudi Arabia in Bengali after 09 until 12. Station YHWH, the Antichrist pirate somewhere in western North America, has continued active most nights but not every night on 7480, except one other frequency caught on one occasion. For example, Rick Barton in Arizona was hearing him in progress already June 8th, tuned in at 0410. In contact via the World of Radio I.O. group, he and Walt Salmoni were especially interested in chasing this pirate. The next night, June 9th, UT, Rick Barton says he was already in progress once again when he tuned in earlier at 0345. No sign of him on June 10th, but June 11th, he came on at 0322, as caught by Don Moman in Alberta and Rick Barton in Arizona. All those on 7480, but Walt Salmoni says once again he was missing when checked June 12th at 0440. Then on UT June 13th, Bob LaRose in San Diego heard him on a different frequency at 0315, 7584.5. In Russia, there are rumblings of resuming shortwave to cover remote areas in Siberia and the Russian Far East. There have been some stories about this in the last two issues of Rus DX, and they're talking about DRM on shortwave from the Chukotka Press Center, an ambitious project intended to be realized by authorities of Chukotka and the specialists of the Far Eastern Regional Center of the Russian Television and Radio Broadcasting Network. Shortwave digital broadcasting to the whole of Chukotka, the governor and director of Far Eastern Distribution, signed a cooperation agreement, opening up prospects for future joint projects, a continuation of the effective cooperation of the parties on switching to digital broadcasting in the district to which Chukotka is fully prepared. We are completing technical preparations, and by the end of June, we will be able to go on the air and experiment. The first test cycle is planned to start in the second half of the year in two standards, classic AM and digital DRM, but the main direction is the digital format. And from the Far North newspaper of Chukotka, residents of remote areas, workers of reindeer brigades, fishermen, hunters, geologists, and prospectors will soon be able to listen to the Purga radio broadcasts in shortwave through neighboring Kamchatka. Kamchatka has a 100-kilowatt transmitter, but of course, in these stories, no details about times or frequencies. Richard Langley in New Brunswick says, in an effort to see if there might be extended discussion of the unrest in Sudan, in the English news bulletin of the Radio Tamazu broadcast directed to South Sudan, I recorded the 15 to 16 UT broadcast on June 7th on 15150 from Madagascar using the Utwenta SDR receiver in Holland. It came on at 1458. English news was from 1541 until 1552, signed off about 1557. Only the last short item in the news bulletin was about the unrest in Sudan, with no more details than might be had from the BBC. The English news bulletin is only broadcast on Tuesdays and Fridays. The other frequency for this is 15400 via France. Radio Tamazuk and its sibling station for Darfur, Radio Dabanga, used to be transmitted adjacently, but now they're overlapping with that one-hour broadcast from Tamazuk, while Radio Dabanga is still starting at 1529 on two different frequencies, 13745 via France and 15550 via Vatican. According to HFCC and Ivo Ivanov, note that there is also a morning transmission of Radio Tamazuk at 0329 to 0427 on 7315 via France and 11650 via Madagascar, mostly in Juba Arabic, but that English news broadcast is also on that transmission Wednesdays and Saturdays at 0410 to 0420. We assume that most low-power Sound of Hope transmissions are from Taiwan, but not all of them. Obviously, some of them have been from Thailand, because there's been trouble there about them. Artie Bigley sends a story from the Thai publication Benar News, B-E-N-A-R. Taiwanese man faces Thai trial for allowing radio broadcasts into China, dated June 13th. A Taiwanese businessman is scheduled to face trial in Thailand's northern Chiang Mai city next week on charges that he illegally hosted a radio station that broadcast uncensored news to listeners in China, amid claims that Beijing pressured Thai authorities to shut down the station. The June 19th and 20th hearing at the Chiang Mai Provincial Court comes more than 5 months after Chiang Yong-shin, 52, was indicted on charges of setting up the station without a permit for Sound of Hope, based in San Francisco, founded by the Falun Gong, a religious movement banned in China. Jiang could be jailed for up to 5 years if convicted. He denies charges, saying the broadcasting facility was set up by his tenants. Ivanov reports hearing Voice of Turkey in French on an out-of-band frequency 9285, June 2nd at 1930, parallel to the proper frequency 9635. What he does not explain is that this is a leapfrog mixing product over another Turkish transmitter halfway between them, 9460. Here's a tip for Americans to hear BBC World Service still on shortwave, even though it's aimed eastward from the UK for 1 hour at midnight UT on 7300. Various listeners say they find it acceptable. John Filiozzi in New York, Gilles Letourneau in Quebec, Stephen Luce in Texas, and GH in Oklahoma. Kim Elliott forwards an obituary from The Guardian May 31st for John Tidmarsh. He's died at age 90. He presented Outlook on the BBC World Service. Thanks to his congenial personality, Tidmarsh became a friend to listeners all over the world. Here's another spurious signal, which I have to explain as a leapfrog mixing product. Zacharias Langas in Greece heard BBC in French on 11215, same as 12005 where it's supposed to be. This was June 1st at 1822 UT. Once again, I checked the schedules and found there was another Wolverton frequency exactly halfway between them, serving as a fulcrum for the leapfrog, and that was 11610, which carried VOA in Amharic. The Voice of America Korean service plays a lot of great music from the American Songbook. I ran across A Whiter Shade of Pale by Procol Harum, June 8th at 1238 on 9320 and 12080. Both of which are 250 kilowatts, 21 degrees from the Philippines, thus carrying on well back to the USA, far beyond the Koreas. I dare say that K-pop is no comparison to music like ours. Info about the WBCQ Superstation from Alan Weiner Worldwide, June 8th, as copied by John Carver. He said it would be on the air by July 1st. Parts for the transmitter had been received. Work on the antenna almost finished. The antenna just had to have its reflector screen tightened. They would be testing the last week of June with an ERP of 20 megawatts ultimately. However, the superstation was already on the air testing 9330 the afternoon of June 12th, first reported by Ethan Best at 2225 UT, playing rock music. They continued doing this into June 13th UT, including programming which is ordinarily heard on Area 51. And Larry Will kindly included World of Radio during this test phase at 0205 UT, June 13th. Great signals from this were reported by many from all over North America, up to 40 over 9. And this, of course, is right on frequency rather than offset, like the old transmitter carrying Brother Scare above 9330. I was still hearing it with a strong signal after 0600. This was apparently on about the same azimuth as other WBCQ antennas toward Texas and Mexico. While some have got a reply from Alan Weiner saying they were running 150 kilowatts and they might be testing again the next day. The latter according to a tweet via Richard Langley. Seems like WRNO, however, has been off the air for a couple of weeks. I've not run across it on 7505 for some time. It was still off June 11th after 0600 and no explanation on their website, which was still running a webcast. By the way, on the website they say one out of every six people in the world owns a shortwave radio. Can we believe that? Jim Barrett in Elmira, New York, has been keeping track of serious problems with WEWN's Spanish transmitter on 12050. June 10th at 1429, it was suffering from severe asymmetrical modulation, very distorted audio, the lower sideband okay, but the upper sideband was splatter-filled, extending all the way up to 12120. The next day, June 11th, they were actually centered on about 12082 with very distorted audio, demodulating best in the narrowband FM mode. At least that left 12050 completely in the clear for Radio Ndarasan International until it signs off at 2100. Then on June 12th, after 14 UT, no signal from WEWN, hoping they are off repairing the problem. Mark Sills in Dallas is surprised that a major station in a major market, KRLD 1080, was having multiple dropouts of their carrier, June 11th around 1322. Dan Robinson forwards breaking news from swelling.com, QV, about a new Eaton receiver, which may be on the market by early next year, apparently a successor to the E1, employed so successfully by Ron Howard. It's being referred to as the Elite Satellite. Mike Terry forwards a story from, of all things, International Business Times, that a new study suggests that the sun's 11-year solar cycle is determined by the alignment of planets. The tidal forces of Jupiter, Earth, and Venus influence the solar magnetic field, causing the solar maximum and minimum. Experts believe that the new research report will help to learn more about why the sun has a regular solar cycle. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued June 10th. Geomagnetic field activity expected to reach active levels on June 25th, unsettled on June 24th, 26th, and July 6th due to coronal hole high-speed stream influence. Quiet conditions expected throughout the remainder of the outlook period. That is, ANKNSC is peaking at 12 and 4 on June 25th, 10 and 3 on July 6th. Otherwise, mostly 5 and 2 or 8 and 3. And would you believe it? Solar flux expected to be a flat 68 through the entire period until at least July 6th. And that's World of Radio 1986. Glenn Hauser, thanks very much for listening and hoping you'll make a point of hearing me next week for another edition of World of Radio, concluding with a standard disclaimer.